This is Living the RV Dream, episode 120, for Friday, November 15th, 2019.
I'm riding
in my RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, pelican heads, travelers around the world, part-timers, full-timers, weekenders, whoever you are, you're not going to believe who I have on the podcast today, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hello, happy campers. I'm John.
And I'm Kathy.
And we were living the RV dream. Loving the lifestyle.
Definitely. I'm sure most of you can recognize the voices of John and Kathy Huggins. And for many years, there were the voices in our ears and the authority in the RV lifestyle that we learned from so much, actually. Personally, myself, a lot of what I learned in the early stages of my planning to buy Minitini the trailer and many other, I learned from them, from their books and their podcast and their website. And but I'm going to let them, to the three of you who don't know who John and Kathy Huggins are, I'm going to let them tell us a little more about themselves.
Well, we started our being in 2005. And in 2008, our son, who was in radio, lost a show on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And this was like on Tuesday. And he said, Mom, Dad, you come in and do an RV show. No big deal, right? We said, of course.
Sure, we can.
We can handle that. Had no clue what we were doing. But we went in and we started on a radio show on Saturday morning here in the Sarasota area of Florida.
We had to have a name for it.
Yeah. So we came up with Living the RV Dream. And that's how I got started. We did it in studio for 18 weeks. And then John learned how to podcast, and we took it on the road with us. We were on the road till 2015.
Yeah.
That's when I got started.
We were traveling full time until about 2014. Kathy got sick, and it got to a point where we just couldn't maintain that lifestyle and keep her where she needed to be, but she's all better now.
Yeah, and then we decided you would be the best person to take over Living the RV Dream, and we are grateful that you have it. We've heard such good stuff about you.
Yeah, I'm so grateful to you as well, because that was like the kick in the butt that I needed to really embrace what I was doing and start doing it full time. And and well, the rest is history, and I'm kind of eternally grateful to you guys, and I hope to see you in person sometime in the future.
Well, we'll see you very soon. January at the Tampa RV Show.
You're going
Saturday
to
Saturday morning. We'll be there.
That would be great, and it would be great to do like a. I mean, everybody, I'm sure, wants to see you guys, people who haven't seen you in a long time, and I'm gonna be there, you know, and you know, looking at RVs, because you won't believe on YouTube how many people like to watch videos of you know, RV tours, you know, and I go like knocking around on surfaces and tell them, this is not well built, this is well built, and I know you are into quality as well, and some are, so you've seen some of the stuff out there.
Well, that was my business before I started RVing. Mm-hmm. And I learned when I visit those plants what to look for. Mm-hmm. And some are good and many are not.
Can you give us a little insight on that? I mean, stuff that you've seen that perhaps, good and bad.
You want me to name names?
if you want, or if you want to be general. I know, for example, that Numar, at least, it used to be very well built, Amish craftsmanship. Yeah. And some other stuff is put together with nails, and there's also some in between.
Numar had the right idea. They built with quality. They've been sold, by the way. They belong to Winnebago now.
Yep.
I don't see many changes coming, because the same people that ran it before are still going to run it. It's just owned by Winnebago. Winnebago also owns Chris Craft Boats. They don't mess with them. I think it'll be just fine.
Yeah, I think nowadays the industry is like two or three companies. I think Winnebago, Thord, and Rev, is it? I think they own like 90% of the brands by now.
Yeah. But you have to get online and do a lot of homework. Mm-hmm. Learn what people like, what they don't. Throw out the bottom two and the top two, and in the middle you'll find the truth.
Yeah. which brings me to, let me ask you a question, that because RV show season is here, right? Like this weekend is the Palm Beach RV show, and there's RV shows all over the country, with Tampa being the largest one, or although Pennsylvania says that theirs is the largest one. But in any case, any advice for people who are going to start looking at their first RV?
We wrote a pamphlet called How to Survive an RV Show and Have a Really Great Time Doing It. That's about 18 pages. It's not a great big thing. But the main thing we advise people to do is do your homework first, know what you want to look for, bring really comfortable shoes, bring a backpack to stick all the literature that you're going to get, and don't buy one at the show, because whatever the price at the show is, it'll be the price at the dealership next week. And they have to take all those rigs back to the dealership anyway to clean them up. So don't get carried away. It's very easy to do.
Yes.
And take a camera.
Yeah.
Take a picture of the name of the rig that you think you like. Go inside, take pictures.
Mm-hmm. Lots of them.
Because you're going to see so many that you're going to get totally confused. So we recommend people go online, pick three units that they'd like to see, and visit just those three, sit down and talk about it, and then go visit others. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just so many, you just become overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Well, especially the Tampa show. It is the largest in the country, in spite of what the folks up in Pennsylvania say. But there'll easily be 1,600 brand new rigs of every type and size. And you can easily get lost. A ticket there is a 2-day ticket. And we've stayed an entire week and not seen everything. Mm-hmm. And we stayed on site. So, yeah, it's huge. Vendors, great place. You need to go look at those vendors and see what stuff you got to buy afterwards.
Yep. Yeah, because there are so many accessories that you really need, and some people think that you buy the RV and that's it, but you need tire pressure monitor. Sometimes they don't come with it. You need surge protectors, and I mean, all kinds of stuff.
I can't remember if we may not have something like that on the Living the RV Dream website. I can't remember if I put up a page. We might mention now the Living the RV Dream website is now Robert Morales's Living the RV Dream website. We made a transfer here very recently. There's more good stuff in there than you can possibly read in a couple of days. But I think most of that information from the pamphlet is on the website.
Yes. Is your pamphlet still available, or is that no longer available on Amazon?
I think it's on Amazon.
So it's just
99 cents.
Just search for how to survive.
John and Kathy Huggins.
Yeah. And you also have the your books are still available. So you want to be an RVer and the work camping book.
The work camping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we wrote the books because people on the podcast would email us and say, you give us all this great stuff, but we got to go back through all these audios to find it. You guys need to write a book. Mm-hmm. And when you get a dozen of those in a month, well, maybe we should. So we holed up in Texas for an entire summer and wrote So You Want to Be an RVer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great book for newbies, especially.
Yes.
Everything that we tell people is in that book.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot more from people that know more than me.
Yeah, of course. And there's so much to know. It's so much information that as a newbie, you know, you don't know, you don't, from like basic stuff that like dumping the black before the gray and that kind of thing, you know. And I think you cover all that from the very, very basic to even more advanced stuff, like 12 volt and 120 volt systems and all that stuff.
Yeah, people are spending $60,000 and up on a whim. They show it in an RV show. Oh, yeah, I like this one, I'll buy it. And they have no clue all that is involved in purchasing an RV and living in it or just even vacationing in it. You need to do your research. I think that's the biggest thing that we like to tell people. Research.
Do your homework.
Find out if you want a travel trailer or a motorhome. You know, it's going to take some time, but you'll be happier.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were in the same RV for 12 years, and we loved it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We bought it. You had a diesel pusher, right? Yeah.
We did. We had a basically an entry-level Fleetwood, or one level up, but it was very comfortable. It was big enough for us, probably too big. And we learned a whole lot early on with it. Mm-hmm. And we crossed the country 4 or 5 times east to west and a couple of times north to south. And we had very few problems with that rig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I tell everybody. First, you have to narrow it down and see what type of lifestyle you're going to have. If you're going to be a weekender, a full-timer, if you want to move more often, or if you want to be a snowbird and stay put for 6 months at a time at a place, and that really dictates what kind of rig, I think.
You have to know what your plan is going to be. Mm-hmm. If I was going to stay someplace 6 months at a time, I'd have a fifth wheel.
Exactly. Yep.
But our plan was to travel a lot, and the motorhome worked out for us.
I think the longest we ever stayed anywhere was 3 months here in Florida. We get here in the November, early December, and stay through the end of February.
Yeah.
And then we'd start to head out again. You have to make a plan. Where are you going? What you doing? How's it going to happen?
Exactly. This country is so great and so large that a lifetime, 10 lifetimes wouldn't be enough to see everything.
We didn't start to see half the stuff I had on a list to see.
We just picked the surface, you know. Mm. We cherry-picked the places we went in 12 years. Mm-hmm. The only place we did completely probably was the Black Hills of South Dakota, because we spent 4 summers there.
Yeah. That's the way to do it, yeah.
Yeah. We never got into Yosemite. Every time we tried to go, it was on fire.
Or we broke down.
Oh, I was just in Yosemite this last summer.
How'd you like it?
It's incredible. The only thing is it's like the Disney of national parks. It's like the crowds of people from all over the world are a little intense and a little overwhelming. Luckily, most of them stay at the valley. I decided to go for a hike, and then it was just the few of us who were brave enough to do the hike. But the waterfalls and the El Capitan, you know, it's really a place to see for sure.
We tried several times.
maybe you still can, you know, at some point, you know. Are you still planning on maybe getting a smaller rig and doing
we're not getting any younger. that's an issue. I don't know. We'd love to. I mean, I would love to pick up a very small Class C, like a Sprinter based Class C, and take, you know, 5, 6, 8 week trips and stuff.
Yeah.
We'll see. Kathy still is at the mercy of her doctors. Certain medications are hard to come by. So we can do it. We did it for a while. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. I really hope you're able to get on the road at some point.
We might follow you around.
We really did much of the East Coast when we were traveling. We did a lot out west. So, doing here in the East Coast would be nice for us.
Yeah.
But we have lived on the East Coast most of our lives.
Yeah.
From Newport, Rhode Island, all the way down to here, and a lot of stops in between. So we felt when we headed out, our first trip was to Mount Rushmore. That was our goal for the whole year.
Yeah.
We're going to go see Mount Rushmore. And we did, and it was awesome. We went back 5 or 6 times in that season. And we fell in love with the Black Hills.
It's a beautiful area. And the West is made for RVing. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
It's just breathtaking. Mm-hmm. It really is. We read a book when we started off, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it. But one of the things that they recommended was to plan one goal each time you go camping. Pick a national park, a monument.
State park.
State or, you know, something that you want to be sure to see and make that your goal. And then plan to stop on the way to your goal or plan to stop on the way home from your goal. And you get to see a lot more, and you're kind of more organized that way. Because sometimes you get lost. You know, you're just like, oh, where am I? What am I doing?
Well, you know, and that dovetails right in with, we were given good advice when we started. Don't go too fast. Did we listen? No.
Not the first year.
It was go, 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 do, spend.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And we only saw Mount Rushmore. But slow down. Smell the roses. There's so much to see. And you're not on, if you're a full-timer, you're not on vacation. It's your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Take your time.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of us are still on that vacation mode, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's hard to break. It really is very hard to break. Because you're just used to doing that so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just have to have certain days when you don't do anything or go anywhere. Mm. Just, you know, get yourself grounded again. Yeah. It was hard to do that. Mm. Very hard.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes you need a couple of days, like me, for example, to actually get some work done. Because if you're go, you never get any work done if you want to work from the road. And a lot of people are starting to embrace this lifestyle younger. And they just work remotely as long as there's internet, you know?
Yeah.
And they're tired of the fast-paced lifestyle, big cities and stuff. It's just crazy out there.
It's crazy. You know, last night I came back from, it was a 10-day trip to Alabama. And I decided to arrive in the Miami metropolitan area during rush hour traffic.
Wow.
I'm never doing that again.
Towing a trailer,
a trailer on I-95 South coming into Fort Lauderdale, Miami. Oh, you will believe. It's bad timing, you know. Sometimes you have to time those things. I want to ask you a couple of questions. There's this thing on YouTube, and it's a 10-question challenge that everybody's doing. I did it a couple of days ago. And I wanted to ask you those questions, and with that, we're probably going to wrap this up. And a lot of them are in present tense, since you have an RV in 3 years. I'm going to change into past tense. But when you had the RV, what would you have changed in your RV if you were able to change one thing?
Oh, I think I would have had some slide outs. We had one. I would have had more.
More slide outs. All right. What is something you did not expect with your first RV?
I guess the first time we broke down.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got towed. I did not expect that great big tow truck to come and tow that great big motor home. Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect the great big bill that came with that. We had insurance. We had a deductible to meet. Mm-hmm. So that was unexpected. Everything else was new, so I wasn't sure what to expect.
Right. Let me do a quick segue on that, because I think you need to have the right tow service, or what would you call it, roadside assistance, right? Because sometimes you have an RV and they show up with a little truck like to tow a car. I've seen that happen to people. So what would you recommend, CoachNet or one of these?
We used CoachNet.
Very satisfied with them.
Very, very happy with them. We got towed 3 times by them. No charge to us other than the premiums we were paying. Mm-hmm. We also had insurance on the motorhome, extended warranty insurance.
Yes.
So, you know, a turbocharger goes bad. That's about a $4,500 hit. Yeah. We had a $500 deductible. The first two turbochargers were under warranty, but the next one wasn't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and something is always going to break. It's not a matter of if, but when. In any case.
Well, refrigerators too.
And those are refrigerators are expensive. Is the
we went through two cooling units, and we had a great big fridge, but it was an RV fridge. Mm, and yeah, we went through two cooling units. If we had to pay for that, it'd be $2,500 each time.
Yeah.
So having that extended warranty was well worth the money.
Definitely. Let me go back to the questions. What was your deciding factor of buying your first RV?
I think we had done some research. We knew we wanted a diesel. And I wanted a brand that I could find service for pretty much anywhere. And for our budget, Fleetwood fit the bill there. So we were looking for a Fleetwood diesel, and we found one.
And it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it hadn't been used that much. There was still plastic on the mattresses.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And I think I've heard you say before that you recommend buying your third RV first, like always buy used also, like not getting that depreciation from a new RV.
That was good advice we were given. Yeah. And we absolutely agree with it. New RVs have issues. I mean, you're building a house and putting it on wheels. So things are going to shake around.
Mm-hmm.
Let the first guy fix all that stuff and let him take that great big depreciation hit that he's going to have to take.
Luckily, I bought a cheap RV. But yeah, the first year I was tightening screws all over the place because they never put it together.
Never, ever, ever buy an entry-level RV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the one we bought was one level up from that, and it was fine.
Yep.
It worked for us.
What's your favorite meal to cook at camp? That might be Kathy's department here. I don't know.
I had a full kitchen, so it wasn't that big of a deal to cook. I cooked just like I cooked at home. Mm-hmm. But I always enjoyed my crock pot.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
used to... even on travel days, I would put everything in the crock pot, put the crock pot in the sink, plug it in, and by the time we got parked, it'd all be done.
And that smell was just...
Can you imagine? You can't wait to get to camp.
I mean, she made stew. She made all kinds of stuff in that crock pot, and it was great.
Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah, now everybody's into the instant pot. The pressure cooker and
I wish we'd have had one when we were on the road. We have one now.
Yeah, I won one at the rally that I was this weekend. So I'm gonna start using it. I have to read up on the manual now and might do a studio this afternoon. What's your most CRV destination?
Our most seen?
Must see, like
must see.
I know this is a tough one because there's so much to see out there.
Yeah, but... well, the one we enjoyed the most was Glacier National Park, and I really wanted to go there, and we did. Mm-hmm. We went to Yellowstone, and then we went to Glacier, and I found Glacier to be just the most relaxing, most beautiful, restful area in the whole country.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and we were there summertime, so it was busy, but it wasn't really bad.
Yeah.
And we were so blessed. We were going up to the Sun Road.
Yep.
And halfway up, there's a rest stop. There's bathrooms. And hikers catch the bus and go up to the top, and then they hike down. And I noticed that these two people didn't get on the bus that stopped. And so I said, well, you know, we're going to the top. We'll take you. You know, they're all ready to go. They look good. And started going up. And her
father
was the superintendent of maintenance on the Going to the Sun Road. And all the way up, she told us all about the road and how it got built and the
cool stuff,
you know, areas that were really tough. And it was like education. It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
You just never know when you're out.
Glacier is definitely on my list for next summer. I was very close this summer, but for some reason, I just couldn't make it. It's kind of out of the way up there, you know, north.
You have to pay attention when you go to Glacier and get on their website to see if the Going to the Sun Road is open yet. Mm-hmm. This past year, it didn't open until August.
Yeah. Well, we had a wet winter. This was a very strange winter, you know.
Always plan ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I was in Quartzsite, Arizona, and there was this downpour in Quartzsite. Like all the washes became rivers, and that, I figured that's why they call them washes. And it was a weird winter for sure, and a lot of snow. Let me see. I have a couple more questions here. Well, what's your favorite thing about RVing?
People.
That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. The people we meet.
It's funny because we have a dog and we walk him every morning. And I know people's dogs. I don't know them. But I know that's you know, Bella's dad or something
like that. But we met a lot of folks while we were walking the dog.
And the rallies, we get to meet a lot of people and sit and talk and your story. And people are wonderful.
Mm-hmm. We have lifetime friends from our RVing days, but we know far better than people from years and years before that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
I totally agree. I mean, I hardly know my neighbors here, and I know people who live on the other side of the country better than my neighbors, perhaps.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree that RVers are the friendliest, for sure. What's your least favorite thing about RVing?
Next favorite thing?
List.
Yeah.
Breaking down, mm-hmm. I think, it's uncertainty of that, you know, as your RV gets older, you have to do a little more maintenance.
Yep.
And in the back of your head is, well, am I going to make it all the way from here to there without having to stop or get towed or something like that? So I guess that's my least favorite, Kathy.
I think so. We got towed one time down a mountain.
Oh.
And they put our
from Yosemite.
They put our RV up on a flat top.
Flatbed.
Mm-hmm. And it went down a curvy road. Now this guy's lived there his whole life.
Yeah.
You know, we have not. We've only come up. We haven't gone down. And he was going about 50 miles an hour. My RV was just rocking back and forth.
That must be nerve wracking seeing that.
But the fun part was they had to go through a small town and they were having a celebration and they had a banner across the road that was too long. So the people from the fire department came out, lifted the banner so we could get my RV under it and take it on down the road. I mean, that's what people are like in small towns in America.
I think you both could write a book just on all those anecdotes. You could write several tomes, I think. You must have so many stories to share.
We do. We just had a good time, and it was.
Yeah. Well, you can't do this for 12 years and not have some awesome stories.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, it was a breakdown, but we've got people we've met that are awesome people. We've been on some adventures, especially in the state of Utah, that take your breath away. Those are things you remember your whole life.
Okay, I have three more questions on this challenge here. Just if and when you get your next RV, right? What's a most must have on your next RV?
Comfortable bed.
Yeah, right.
I can get a night's sleep. I can do anything.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, but most people complain about RV beds, and everybody.
We got rid of the mattress within 3 months that we had, and put a sleep number in, and it was great.
Yeah,
but you know, in some RVs, they shove the bed right up against the wall. So no, I don't want that.
You can't make it.
I want to be able to get around it.
Yeah, a favorite beverage while camping. They say adult beverage. I don't know if you guys drink or not, but favorite beverage.
We don't do adult beverages, at least I don't anymore. I don't know if we really have one.
You don't? Okay. Yeah.
Water. I like water, always have.
And I drink soda.
Mm-hmm. And the favorite indoor accessory. I don't know. I mean, could be outdoor accessory. I don't know what they wrote into indoor accessory, but.
Accessory?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you one that's an absolute must-have, and that's electrical management system, or EMS.
Yeah.
You just can't live with, or shouldn't try and live without that, because one low-power incident can take out an air conditioner. you know, it's just a must have. It's going to cost you a couple hundred dollars, mm-hmm. but they're building them into RVs now, thank God. But that would be the most have. Mm-hmm. I know one of our favorites. We had a campfire in a can.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was a propane-fired campfire. We won it at a rally somewhere. We always wanted one, and there we won this thing. And you just hook it up to your propane tank, and it's a wonderful little campfire. You can roast marshmallows over it. It'll actually keep you a little bit warm.
Yeah, that sounds like a great thing to have, yeah.
My favorite thing in our RV is somebody showed me how to hang a curtain across the front windows because, you know, everybody can see right into your rig when you have a motorized rig. And it was a little uncomfortable for me, so I was able to hang like a cafe curtain right across the front of the windows. I could see out, but they couldn't see in. And I found that to be really an ingenious idea. Mm-hmm. You know, people are so smart that you just think, duh, why didn't I think of that?
I mean, the rig had curtains, but then you couldn't see out. So
they were heavy. They were heavy, and it was dark in there. Yeah. This kept the light in. There's so many things that people have done. I think the biggest issue today for kitchen area of an RV is pantry space. Mm-hmm. They see they've taken it out, and I don't know what to do about it. It's gone.
Yeah. You just have to use fewer appliances that do more things, like an Instant Pot.
Yeah. Yes, for some reason, some RVs, they just waste space with some of these items, like they put a big fireplace, like, I don't know. To me, that's like kind of a waste of space where they could have cabinets or other stuff.
We could put pots and pans where that thing is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Jen and Kathy, I don't know. I think we are pretty much at the end of the podcast today. I'm really appreciate that.
You have enjoyed this, Robert.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you guys came on the podcast.
Well, thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, your books or anything like that? I know you're still selling your podcast, your past episodes. You guys are you still selling those?
The flash drives, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sell a flash drive that has all 407 of our podcasts, plus 18 of our live radio broadcasts and some notes explaining most of them. And we put it on a flash drive, and we sell that for $100, including the shipping. Mm-hmm. And the best way to get that is, we used to have a sales page on our website, but it's Robert's website now.
I'll figure out how to put a link to that. We'll talk about it, and you tell me how to do the link, and we'll put it up, and we'll put it on the podcast show notes as well.
That podcast caused a lot of people to go full time RVing. Mm.
Yeah, it is all your fault. It is all your fault that we cannot find a camping site these days.
Must have done something right, I guess.
All right, everybody, and thank you so much for being here one more time. And
thank you.
It was our pleasure, Robert. Anytime.
All right. Happy camping.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time. Thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle with John and Kathy Huggins, Free My RV.